Good morning, everyone. I will also take this opportunity to say Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. That will keep me from having to run around to each one of you. If I do walk by you, I might say Happy Mother's Day anyway. Happy Mother's Day. I will also take the time to say Happy Mother's Day to my mom. She often watches the classes that I'm teaching online. So, hi, Mom. I will call you this afternoon. So the last 4 weeks, we had lessons about being strong in the Lord, and some of those lessons can become kind of heavy because they are often an opportunity for us to look at ourselves and see where we don't exactly measure up and how we can be stronger in the Lord. Usually that has to do with us and something that we're not doing correctly or something we don't have right with God. So I understand the last 4 weeks have been kind of heavy. So what I really thought today was that I would be bringing a more encouraging lesson, something that's a little more uplifting. This is just a great subject to think about. And as I thought about it and as I prayed about what it is I should be teaching, I just kept coming back to the verse that actually, when people ask me what my favorite verse in the Bible is, it's this verse. I don't know why I think it's an odd one, but it's really not. It's just one that you all probably know. It's not a cop out. It truly is my favorite. It's famous. I'm not famous. The verse is famous. It is my favorite verse. It is Psalm 23, verse 6. What I want to do is read through Psalm 23. Most of you, or at least some of you, I'm sure, could recite Psalm 23 from memory. But what I want to do is read through the psalm. It's only six verses. And then we're going to concentrate on verse 6 for this Sunday school hour, okay? So turn to your Bibles. If you're not there already, turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23 says in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth, 23. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." And then this is my favorite verse, and the one we'll spend the rest of the hour on. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So every day, I actually want to look at this verse in halves, okay? We're going to look at the first phrase and then the second phrase. The first part of it being, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." So every day that God gives us is a gift, right? The Lord has done a great thing in dividing our lives into days. I mean, imagine if your frame of reference for when I have to start again is every month. Okay, you start, you go 30 days, and then you get to start again. A day is good, right? You can take a day at a time. A month at a time is a big chunk, right? Let's take it a day at a time. So it's a great thing that God's done this. Now, we tend to count our lives by years, right? We identify ourselves as I'm such and such years old, whatever that number is for you. But God counts by days. We should be grateful for each day that God gives us, and we should consider what we can do for Christ with those days. Our lives easily become self-centered, right? It's easy to focus on what our interests are, what our plans are. But what we need to be doing is thinking about every day that God has given us and how we can give that back to him. We should give every day to God. Psalm 23 tells us that the shepherd's leading, he's leading our lives. He leads us for our entire lives. He doesn't lead us, though, until we know him as Savior. The Bible talks about the Lord as not just the shepherd. It calls him in various scriptures the great shepherd. It calls him the good shepherd. And calls him the chief shepherd. Right? All phrases I hope you're familiar with. They all have pretty deep meanings, actually. But he is also my shepherd. Is that something you can say? It's a question for everyone. Everyone needs to be able to say that. That the Lord is my shepherd. If you can say that, it's because you've asked the Lord to forgive your sin. And by faith, you've invited him to be your personal savior. Now, once you've done that, being a Christian is much more than just believing that God is real and that people should be doing good things. Right? It's much, much more than that. It's more than just reading the Bible. Being a Christian is knowing God personally, knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And when you do, you learn that he has a plan for your life. He has a plan for every day of your life. So as Christians, as I said already, we're supposed to yield our days, each day that he gives you, to the Lord. Psalm 23:6 just calls our attention to this, where it says, all the days of my life. So let's talk about, for the kind of the first half of this lesson, let's talk about what God has prepared for our days. So as you read Psalm 23, you see that the shepherd is leading the sheep, but there's something following the sheep. It's our companions, goodness and mercy. Have you thought of it that way? It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, God provides his goodness and his mercy, not just on occasion, but for all the days of our lives. Goodness is God's provision. It's his provision of blessing that we don't deserve. Right? Think of every precious thing in your life, whatever that is for you. It might be your family, it might be your health, it might be your friends. As we talked about in a previous lesson, it's certainly my Savior, Jesus Christ. He is precious. There's many other things that you might consider precious in your life, and they're all examples of God's goodness. Now, mercy, on the other hand, is God's withholding of the punishment that we do deserve. We deserve to perish in hell and be separated from God forever because we're sinners. Now, Jesus took all of our punishment on the cross, and we need to thank him for his mercy. I hope you do that every day. I mean, I don't think you could possibly thank Jesus too much, or even enough, for that matter. What a blessing to be able to say, as it says in Psalm 23:6, that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. They're your companions. I want to show you a couple other things regarding the days of our lives. Turn to Psalm 90. I want to read you a few verses here and talk about the days of our lives. It seems to be an important thing that God wants to communicate to us. He speaks quite a lot about the days just here in this short passage. What I want to do is read Psalm 90, starting in verse 9 and down through verse 15. Okay, so Psalm 90 and verse 9 says, what I want you to do as I read this, by the way, is listen for the word days, okay, and obviously follow for the meaning. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. So the word days, if you count the same way I do, appears five times there. It's pretty obvious that God wants us to consider our days. And he wants us to consider why he's given them to us. In verse 12 there, the psalmist asks God to teach us to number our days. And that means to realize that there are only a finite number of them. Why? Why does he ask that? That we may apply our hearts to wisdom. It would be my assumption, and I hope you are at least like me in this, that you want to apply your heart to wisdom according to what God has to say. So not one of us knows how long we're going to live, right? I mean, you know, some people die young, but many people live into their 80s, their 90s, some people into their hundreds. But you have to realize, and I think you all at least have thought about it for sure, but I really want you to think about it just for a minute, that your days are limited, right? It's something we don't like to think about. It's something that, for whatever reason, I'm not really sure. I think it's because we come into this world unsaved, right? We come in as sinners, and we tend to grow up thinking negatively about the end of our days, right? We could probably all say none of us want to die. But wait a minute. What happens after that if you're saved, if you're a Christian? I'll talk about that in a second. But we don't want to think about the end of our days. So what this is teaching us here, this passage in Psalm 90, is to number our days. Teach us to number our days so that we can apply our hearts to wisdom. So that if you're going to live for God, you need to start today. Your days are numbered. Right? We know that without warning, our days can suddenly come to an end. How many more days do you have to serve God? Yeah, that's the sobering thought there, right? You know what? I'm in my mid-50s, and I start going, well, wait a minute, I don't have as many days as I used to. I need to make sure that I'm serving God the way he's leading me to, right? That's an important thought. Proverbs 27:1 warns us to boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So be careful, number one, to acknowledge that you don't know what tomorrow will bring. Don't procrastinate in your service to God. Be careful about what you plan to do with your days. Let God plan your days. If you remember, those of you that were here several weeks ago, we talked about making sure that the Lord's will for your life is your choice. Whatever he wants is what I want. That has to do with how you're spending your days. Right? What is it you're going to do before the end of your days comes? What are you going to do for God? The Bible says here, we should number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Think of everything that God has provided for us. He's given us his goodness and his mercy for all of our days. He's given us all the provision that we need. Everything. Certainly, if you'll not fail to ask for it in prayer, he's given you everything you need. And then he's given you things that you certainly don't deserve. That's his mercy. Why? So you can serve him. The question is, what are we going to do for him? Right? I just want you to think about this. Nobody needs to answer me out loud, okay? This is just one of those. Think about this for yourself for a second. Complete this sentence in your own mind for you. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And because of that, I'm going to fill in the blank for you. What are you going to do? This is the way we should be thinking, right? Now, God desires for certain things to be part of our lives. There's certainly many things that he desires for us to not have in our lives, okay? Some of those things that you hear taught here often that God desires to be part of your lives are prayer, Right? We should pray each day. We should not live in a day, or not live a day without prayer. It's the only way God's designed for us to communicate with him. Another one of those things that God certainly wants to be part of your days is Bible reading. Read the Bible each day. God gave the Bible as food for our souls. We should read it and meditate on it. I like the word study because it's different than reading. Studying, meditating, and studying the Bible so that we can learn more about God and how he wants us to be in this life. And you learn the promises that he has for you in this life and after. Thirdly, we should praise the Lord each day. We all tend to become such negative people sometimes, don't we? I mean, I find myself kind of backsliding into that sometimes. It's very easy to complain. Justin could tell me since he's been living with me for a year and a half. I probably complain every day about something, right? I'll throw it right back at you and say, so do you, but that doesn't make it right, right? We shouldn't be complaining. God's given us everything we need. We got to praise God for his blessings. That should be part of your daily walk with him. It's easy to see the worst in things, the worst in people, the worst in a day, right? We tend to categorize our day. This is what we do wrong. Ah, oh, what a terrible day. I was complaining this morning. I was. I even said to him, I don't know why. I just feel like today's going to be a really long day, and I know tomorrow's going to be a long day. I have to take Justin to the airport and his whole family. We're leaving at 3:30. And then my day will end around 5 as I finish the fourth of my 4 meetings that I have. It's going to be a long day. You know what? Praise the Lord. That's what I should be doing. You know what? They're going to the mission field to help lead people to Christ where God wants them. They're out of my house. Right? Right? There's that. I get to work a job. I get paid. Right? So praise the Lord each day, right? So there's these things that God has for us that we should be doing. It should be part of our lives every day. Praying, reading the Bible, praising the Lord. Let me ask you this, though. How many great things have gone undone because we put them off till tomorrow? I mean, I've certainly done it in my years of Bible reading. Oh, I just don't have time for this one today. I don't have time to read the Bible today. Well, make time. You know, it's far more important than anything else you're doing, right? What could you, Christian, have become if you hadn't waited? If you started today to do the things that God has for you to do? How many times has the Spirit of God used his word to convict our hearts? We intended to do something about it, and then we kind of forgot about it. This is the thing that pastors talk about. This is why, like, Pastor Cole will come in here and he will quiz you on Sunday night about what he preached on Sunday morning. I personally don't like that because I'm going, oh, I don't know. Right? I wasn't meditating on what God had to say that day. The point is that we have to act each day upon what we hear and what we receive from God that day. That's how we're to live. So you hear it all the time, and I know you know that. Do you do it? I'm trying to encourage you. Do it. This God has given us everything we need. He's given us goodness. He's given us his mercy. They'll follow you if you're saved, if you've trusted in Christ as your Savior. They're going to follow you every day of your life. So why are we moping around? It's easy to get there, I understand. I do it myself. We just should not. So God wants to get our attention and bring us to the place where we sense that with urgency that every day must be given to him. Is that how you wake up in the morning? That's what I always try. I wake up and immediately read my Bible and pray every day. And the reason I do that is to ask for God's help to not slide back into another day of work, right? It's easy. ask him to help me, to serve him, to do the things that he has for me. He's given me his, it says right there, he's given me his goodness. He's given me the provision of everything that I need. And he's given me the mercy. In other words, I'm not getting what I really deserve. Right? So try and start every day that way. The opportunities of today will never come again. That includes right in this service, this Sunday school, this morning service, tonight's, right? Hopefully the Lord is going to speak through me as I'm trying to teach out of Psalm 23:6 here. The Lord will speak through Pastor Seth in a little while as we go through the morning service. The Lord can speak to you many different ways. Listen, consider it, and say, Lord, thank you for giving me such a blessing. Help me to live for you today. What do you have for me? And that might be just loving somebody, helping somebody. It could be many different things. It could be teaching a class. There's many folks out teaching classes right now. It might, you know, some of you are going to be playing instruments in a little while, right? Whatever God has for you, Rebecca's back and going to go teach junior church, I assume, right? Right? She's not going to say, nope, I'm not doing that today. I'm tired. I'm sure she is. She's about 12 hours off, right? Just think of it this way. Our days pass so swiftly that we can't afford to live another day ignoring God's plan for us. You can't. Stop ignoring it. Let's as a church get motivated, knowing he's given us everything we need, knowing we have his mercy, knowing that it is God's plan for us to do something for him, with him, every day. Let's do that. Right? Now, for the believer, when our earthly days are over, the unclouded day starts, right? That's a pretty good thought. That brings us to the second half of Psalm 23 here, which says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So when you read Psalm 23, as we did earlier, we read all the way through it, we realize that we're only passing through this world. We also talked about that a few weeks ago. We need to keep that forefront in our mind, or forward in our mind. That's not something to just put off. We're not going to be here forever. I know I'm going to die someday. Yeah, you are. I mean, the Lord could come back. There could be the rapture if you're saved, and that could happen. I don't know when that's going to happen. So pretty much everybody in history before us, with a couple of exceptions, if you read your Bible, you know what they are. Everyone has died. Everyone. And you will too. You're not going to be here forever. But God's children are going to be in the house of the Lord forever. So that's a positive thought. These are the reasons, obviously, that this is my favorite verse, right? If you're down, if you're having a tough day, read Psalm 23. It helps. Now, everyone is headed somewhere for eternity, right? The Bible refers to our body as a tabernacle. It's a tent. Okay? It's a place that's not a permanent dwelling. For the Christian, someday we're going to lay down this robe of flesh, as the Bible describes it, and we're going to go be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 23 tells us that those who know the shepherd will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, those words, forever, are really very powerful. It's one of those things that we as our humans and our finite minds, we can't really comprehend forever. I mean, sometimes it seems like Sunday school lasts forever. Right, Justin? But I want you to just think about a couple of things. You know, here on earth, everything comes to an end. Everything, right? Doesn't matter what you look at. Every second starts and ends. Every minute starts and ends. Every hour, right? Every day, every week, every month, every year, every decade, every century starts and it ends. And for all of us, we're human lives. It all starts with a birth and it ends with the death of our body. Our body ceases to function. But there's going to be no end to the joy in heaven that will not come to an end. The Bible says so. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? It's important. Because if you're also, this is probably several years ago, some of you might remember I taught on the book of Jude. And the book of Jude, chapter 13, shares an interesting thing. There's a forever that wastes, that waits for those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And in Jude 13, it says, to whom, those that aren't saved, those that haven't trusted Christ as their Savior, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Where are you going to spend eternity? When this life ends, and it will, are you going to spend eternity, you only have two choices, in the house of the Lord forever, from Psalm 23, or are you going to spend eternity in the blackness of darkness forever, from Jude 13? Those are your choices. There aren't other options. It's interesting to hear people who aren't saved, when you try to witness to them, try and justify their way of life, their especially atheists, where they do not believe there is a God. It's the question I always ask them. You've probably heard me say this before. Well, why do you believe that? There is endless evidence that there is a God. We talk about that fairly often here. But God uses things in our lives to get our attention, to cause us to think about this. I think this is everyone's experience, saved, I mean, certainly unsaved, and then hopefully you start looking to find the truth, and you learn the truth of Jesus Christ, and you get saved. But God uses things in our lives to get us to pay attention, to know, to say, hey, you know what? Maybe there is a God, and maybe I should consider him. And it doesn't matter, I mean, it does matter in a way, but it doesn't really matter. If you get saved in your lifetime, you're going to go to be with the Lord. You will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, as it says in Psalm 23:6. But some people don't get saved till later in life. I wasn't saved until I was 32 years old. I'm sure there's people that get saved later than that. One of the great men of God that was used mightily of God was a man named John Wesley. Some of you know him or who he was. He was born in 1703. He lived a good long life, dying in 1791 at 88 years old. Now, in 1753, at the age of 50, however, he became gravely ill. He was so ill that he was sure he was dying, and he even wrote his own epitaph for his tombstone. That's not like my first thought, but I don't know. I haven't actually been in the position of actually being close to death. But you know what happened to John Wesley? He got better. God healed him. He lived for another 38 years. I know some of you, yeah, there's some of you in here, you think 50's old. I don't. I'm 54, so I don't. But yeah, 31 is old. 38 more years he lived. God used that illness to stir John Wesley. Those 38 years held an intensity for John Wesley that they might not have without the illness. What's God allowed in your life to get your attention? We talked a little bit about that last week. I told you the man that was, his name was Dean, a man that discipled me when I first got saved. He told me about one of those things that God allowed in his life, almost brought him to the place of death, to get his life straightened around so that he would serve God finally. So we enter God's family the same way we enter our earthly families, right? It's by birth. It's not a physical birth, but a supernatural birth. So I want you to notice something here. Just look at Psalm 23 if you still have that open here. Just notice the first and the last phrases of Psalm 23, because they are absolutely related. The Lord is my shepherd, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's a lot of other great stuff in between there. But there's definitely a connection. The word Lord there is the name for God, Jehovah, okay? And when that name is used, it's referring to God, the God who makes a covenant with his people. If you're part of God's family, you can be certain that heaven is your eternal home, and it will never change. You don't have to worry. You'll be in his house forever with him. If you're in God's family, you're welcome in God's house. The same God who is our shepherd will welcome us into his house forever. I know, yeah, but you got to think about forever. According to John 3, we have to be born again to enter into God's family. As a matter of fact, Christ's words to Nicodemus in John 3 were these: "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." You must be born again. Have you asked God to forgive your sin and by faith trusted in Christ as your personal Savior? It's that simple. If you have, rejoice in 23:6. Psalm 23:6. That should bring you great joy. If you really dwell on what it says. But if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, why don't you just do it this morning? Why don't you just get it settled? It's as simple as calling on God to save you, asking him to save you, putting your trust in Jesus Christ, in who he is, and what he did for you on the cross by paying the penalty for your sin. It's that simple. Psalm 23 is a psalm about sheep rejoicing in the presence of a shepherd. One of the interesting things about this is that it says, "For thou art with me." Have you ever just read through this with that thought in mind? Did you know that throughout the entire psalm, there's never a moment when the Lord or the shepherd and the sheep are separated? Always together. Right? The Lord is with you. Once you get saved, the Lord is with you forever. Many people who have entered God's family don't seem to be enjoying his presence, though. I don't know why that is. But perhaps they haven't really thought of it in these terms. What do? They chase after everything else except God. They try to get out of serving him. They don't read their Bible. They chase after, we've talked about it a million times, right? Money and things and fame and power and none of that matters. None of it. They're doing everything except communing with Christ. He's always with you. He's given you his goodness and his mercy, everything you need to serve him. You have no excuse. If you have trusted in Christ, you are God's child. So you're without excuse. So let's just decide to serve him. That is why you're here, right? You do understand that we exist to please God. That is what we have been created for. Psalm 48:14 says that God will be our guide even unto death. From the break of the day to the close of the day, from the beginning of life to the end of life, the shepherd leads his sheep, never apart from you. He'll be our guide even unto death. Well, I take statements like that and say, well, yeah, well, what about after that? Well, you understand, God doesn't need to lead you when you're with him in his house. You're dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. He doesn't need to lead you. You're in his presence. But until then, enjoy what he's given you here in this life. Count your blessings. Commune with him. Serve him. Bring other people to him. And then when it's over, it just gets better. Better than you can even imagine, or me. Turn, this will be the last scripture I use. Should be just about on time. Turn to John chapter 14. A few more verses to share with you. John 14, I want to read the first three verses. And I want you to notice, if you have the red letter edition, you notice these are the words of Jesus Christ. It says in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." I want you to notice the word "there" in verse 3. And note that "there" is a real place. It's a real place. It's not just wherever Jesus is. Where's Jesus? Where is he right now? He's in heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. That's where "there" is. It's a real place. For now, we're here. But we actually long to be there. Everything, whether or not you realize this, what you long for, Christian, is to be with God in heaven. Everything that you wish was different about the world is what heaven is. Everything you can imagine. Have you ever actually tried to do that? Imagine what heaven would be like? Think about it just for a second here while we're saying, what will heaven be like? It's a fun thing to think about, for sure. I like to think of it. But we can't, right, Fred? We can't possibly imagine. Whatever you just thought of, it's way better than that, okay? It's one of those weird things. I think I have enough time. I like to do this every so often. We sing a song here. I'm just going to read you the lyrics. I know last few weeks ago, this is why Justin left. Okay, he got up and left. He knew I was reaching for the hymnal. I'm not going to sing to you. But there's a hymn we sing here called "What a Day That Will Be." It says, "There's coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one that died for me." What a day, a glorious day that'll be. Then there's the chorus, of course. What I want you to notice, you all sang that song, right? Do you know you're singing about the day you die? Have you thought about that? See, I said earlier, we tend to not want to think about the end of our days. We tend to think of death as this terrible thing. It's not a terrible thing for the Christian. And we shouldn't be thinking of it that way. That song is the right view of this. Okay, as it says in Psalm 23:6, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, forever. It's just an interesting thought whenever we sing that. I think that, you know, it seems such a weird thing to be singing about the day I die. But it's not weird for the Christian. Right? We're all getting older. When we die, we'll spend eternity either in the blackness of darkness forever, separated from God in eternal hell, or in the house of the Lord forever, having trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're God's child, you can enjoy his presence. And you can know that one day soon, you're finally going to go home. Just as the sheep enjoys the shepherd's presence, we can enjoy the presence of God as he guides us through this life. So there's a lot of thoughts there regarding Psalm 23:6. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." If you're saved, rejoice in that. If you're not, you can rejoice in that too. Just put your trust in Jesus Christ. Ask him to save you. It's really that simple. I don't know if Pastor Seth will be preaching the gospel this morning or not. I don't have any idea what his subject is. I'm sure he'll probably mention it along the way. But there is no reason anybody here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior today can't trust in him. And he will in no wise cast thee out. He will accept you. And you can be saved forever. And then you too can rejoice in Psalm 23. All right, let's pray and I'll be done. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for, again, your word. Thank you for this psalm. Lord, thank you for the promises, the beauty of the comparison of you as our shepherd and us as sheep. Lord, we want to pray that you would help us, Lord, to realize what you've given us. Lord, and the mercy that you've shown us to not give us what we deserve. Lord, and that we should spend each one of our days looking to thee, for what we can do for thee, and what we can allow you to do through us, that we can be available for you to use us. Lord, and thank you for this promise, Lord, that if we've trusted in Christ, that we can dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We can be with you in your presence for all eternity. Lord, there is nothing better than that. Lord, I do want to pray for anybody that's not saved, that they would be saved this morning before they even leave the building. Lord, and we just want to pray now that you would bless the morning service, that you would use it as well, and Pastor Seth as he preaches. Lord, use the music to prepare our hearts, and we just look forward to what you'll do here. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you have